Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in, locked in, all over North America. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. I hope you are all of the things. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. Thank you to you. Wherever you might be, we appreciate you for hanging out. Of course, we have a lot to get into. We've had a busy day. I mean, last night we had a busy night. The World Series went on for almost 7 damn hours. We're going to get into that. And then they got to play in another 2 hours. Okay, we got a lot to discuss. We'll talk about the Dodgers' victory. Maybe you saw it, maybe you did not. We're going to talk about some of the amazing young stars in the NBA, Vijay Edgecombe, Victor Wembanyama playing out of his mind like a complete nut right now. Matter of fact, we're going to have a Nate Ryan from San Antonio, KNS5. He's going to come through and join us to talk about these Spurs. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got Brian Fisher. He's going to come through and join us as well. Let's talk all things college football. Okay, we got a lot of coaches who currently don't have jobs. We have openings at Florida. We got openings at LSU. And Brian Fisher will be here with us next hour. Lamar Jackson, he's back. He spoke to the media today. That means one thing, he's healthy. Okay, that's a good thing. He'll be in action on Thursday, Thursday Night Football this upcoming week. It's going to be a fun one. Kansas City Chiefs, they picked up a win yesterday. New Orleans Saints, they told Spencer Rattler, have a seat. It's time for us to get a look at Shuck from Louisville. And so we got a lot to discuss. Ohtani, they don't want to pitch to the guy. Lane Kiffin is being petty. What else is new? And then we'll get into this. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. And then I guess they're trying to make history in Saudi Arabia. They're trying to build a stadium on top of a skyscraper? What? Like a 40,000-seater? Like a thousand? Could you imagine just putting a stadium at the top of the Empire State Building? Yeah, that's what Saudi Arabia wants to do. We'll get into that later on in the show. If you want to be a part of things here, it's simple. The phone number is very, very simple. Here it is, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist on the internet. I am everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. Botcher, how much of that game did you see last night?
I can tell you when I started to fade out of consciousness. I saw Clayton Kershaw get out of the jam, and then I saw the Dodgers bat maybe three. I don't even know what happened after that. I started to fade, and I passed out.
Yeah, that's pretty much the last thing I remember as well. I remember seeing Clayton Kershaw get out of the jam. I remember laying down to watch the rest of the game saying, let me just watch the rest of this game. And then the damn thing almost ended. And if you happen to be a fan of the Toronto Blue Jays, or maybe you're on the eastern side of the country in Canada, whatever, I don't know. If you tried to watch that game, it ended at almost 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm sure by now you know that the Dodgers came out on top. It took 18 damn innings. Freddie Freeman had to come through and hit a game-winning home run to call it a wrap And the game just kept going and going and going and going. The final score, the Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 6-5. Some ridiculous stats and numbers coming out of this game. You had 18 innings, 6 hours and 39 minutes, 609 pitches, 130 at-bats, 19 pitchers were used. I mean, even Yamamoto, who the day before, actually, or the day before that, went out there and pitched a complete game shutout, even he was out there warming up. 5 home runs. And Shohei Ohtani, we'll talk more about this. The Blue Jays do not want to throw to him anymore. And he was walked intentionally 4 times. It was just one hell of a night, okay? And hopefully you stayed awake. Maybe you saw all 6 hours and 39 minutes of it. Let's take a listen. This is I don't want to know if the announcer is weary, if he's tired. You know, here's Freddie Freeman's walk-off. This is the Dodgers version.
Little delivers. Freeman. It's one high in the air. Straight away center field. Farshow at the wall. Gone! Freddie Freeman, Mr. World Series.
Yeah, well, those are the winners, right? If you're the Blue Jays, there ain't nothing sweet about playing a baseball game for almost 7 hours and then being a loser. I don't want to say here's the loser's version, but here's the Blue Jays call of Freddie Freeman's home run.
Payoff pitch. Hit high, center and deep. Varsho back, warning track, wall, it is gone. The Dodgers go nuts on the field as Freeman wins the 18-inning marathon with a solo homer in one of the craziest games you will ever see.
Oh, yeah. Well, Boccia, that's more enthusiasm than I'd expect from the losers, right?
Well, you got to be... Maybe they're just happy the game ended.
No, possibly. You don't have to... You getting ready to say you got to be happy? No.
No, they're not going to be happy, but like... Deep down, they're like, okay, at least the game's over. Maybe in the long run, this is good for the team. Maybe they don't use any more arms.
Just to take a loss? I don't know about that one. A little enthusiastic probably about leaving. Now, let's take a listen to the Dodgers radio from the Spanish broadcast.
No se anota desde la séptima entrada. Lanzamiento. Elevado. Al central. Va hacia atrás, Varsho. Va hacia atrás, Varsho. La pelota se va. Se va. Y se acabó el partido. Otro héroe en Serie Mundial. Entrada número 18. Esta vez es Freddie Freeman, que le da victoria a los Dodgers 6-5. Y la ventaja también en la serie 2-1.
Yeah, Dodgers win. Yeah, you don't got to speak Spanish to understand that. Dodgers win. They won 6-5. And if there's one name you understood, it was Freddie Freeman's. We saw what he did last year against the New York Yankees in Game 1. This guy's like, here's a grand slam, okay? Walk-off grand slam. That was just a horrific thing to watch if you like the Yankees. And then last night, it takes him, took the whole damn team 18 innings, and then he hits a bomb. Freddie Freeman had enough energy to answer questions after the game. And he basically said, yeah, my second walk-off in a World Series. Can I go to the Hall of Fame tomorrow?
To have it happen again a year later to hit another walk-off, it's kind of amazing, crazy, and I'm just glad we won, and we're up 2-1, and we got our Shohei on the mound tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. Shohei Ohtani's going to be on the mound today, all right? Yeah, the same guy that reached base last night a record 9 times in a postseason game. That's a record. Okay, matter of fact, forget the postseason. It is an all-time Major League Baseball record to have a guy get on damn base 9 times. It's ridiculous, okay? When they did not intentionally walk Shohei Ohtani, he had 4 at-bats, he had 4 hits, he had 2 home runs, 2 doubles, batted in 3, and was walked five times, four of them intentionally. I mean, what are we doing out here? Even Freddie Freeman, he won the damn game with the home run. He's looking at Shohei going, I can't do what that guy does.
He's a unicorn. It's just, there's no more adjective you can describe Shohei. It's 4-for-4, five walks. He finally got the pitch two at the in the last at bat, and you still had the patience to not be trying to do too much and get on base. He's just incredible.
He's just incredible. Well, we know he's incredible. You're incredible too. You know, Dave Roberts, the manager, I know that guy's brain is fried. He had to think about who I put in the game, who I take out of the game. I just had a guy throw a complete game. Now I got to put him back in the game in the 18th, 19th. And then what are we doing? Dave Roberts says Freddie Freeman is the man. That's what he told Fox.
He's the glue of our ball club. You know, I think that every team needs a captain, a glue guy, a leader, a guy who does it the right way, and everyone can follow suit. And, yeah, he's not swinging the bat as good as he always has. But you know what? 8, 9, 10 at-bats, he still kind of sticks his nose in there, used a big part of the field, and took a lot of good swings tonight. And, you know, we thought last year was the biggest swing in Dodgers history with Gibby. And, you know, he's pretty much topped that one, too.
Man, and there's a lot of people here in Atlanta not happy that Freddie Freeman is gone, that Freddie Freeman is over here hitting these damn home runs for the Los Angeles Dodgers and not the Atlanta Braves. I know some wounds take a little bit longer to go out there and heal. Okay, I don't know if they ever will. Shohei Ohtani, a man of few words, particularly when he's speaking in public. He uses his translator when the translator is not robbing him. Shohei was asked how he's feeling, and he's like, man, I'm tired. I need to sleep.
I want to go to sleep as soon as possible so I can get ready.
Boom. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is going to be on the mound pitching tonight, which is going to be absolutely nuts. The guy got on base 9 times last night. Is he like, yeah, well, is he like a freak? The answer is yes, he is a freak. He makes no damn sense. He's going to be on the mound against Shane Bieber. I hope he got some good rest. And Shohei Ohtani looks like the type of guy, they just put him in the closet, put a battery in his back, and he just charges up. I'm not sure if the guy is even human. I know Mookie Betts, you know, he was asked about his rest and what he was going to think about before he went to sleep. And let's just say he had an interesting answer.
When you go to bed tonight, put your head on the pillow tonight, what will you think about Shohei? Will you think about Freddie? What jumps out at you?
I'm probably not going to think about another man while I'm in bed.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if I'm going to think about my teammates. I've been around them for the past, I don't know, forget the actual 6-hour and 39-minute game, probably around him all day. He's like, can I think about somebody else, a woman? I don't know. Anyway, that game was tiring. I woke up and I saw Derek Jeter, David Ortiz. Who the heck is Alex Rodriguez? Who's up there with him? Who's the host?
Oh, well, I'm drawing a blank.
It doesn't matter, does it? Well, anyway, I saw those three guys, and I said, oh, the game is over. And then I looked, and I said, what? I said, 18 innings. I said, what time is it? I don't even know. It must have been after 3 o'clock or something like that. I said, what is this? All I saw was Freddie Freeman home run. I said, wow. And at that point, I turned the television off. I said, nothing else to see here. The game is over. It took forever. And apparently, I fell asleep. Like I think most normal human beings would do. Dave Roberts continued on. He's seen a lot of baseball, been a part of a lot of great baseball games, especially when you think about his time with the Boston Red Sox. But Dave Roberts says, man, that's one of the best games ever.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest World Series games of all time. Emotional. I'm spent emotionally. We got a ball game later tonight. Which is crazy.
Yeah, they got a ball game tonight. We got game 4. They just ended a couple of hours ago. Well, not really, but just about. And now they got to go back out there and play again. Everybody's tired. The media is tired, but who cares about the media? The players are tired. The managers are tired. And if you are the Blue Jays, you really got to be tired. Because you went through all of that last night just to lose. There's nothing worse than getting your brains beat in. There's nothing worse than going through this whole marathon to ultimately come up short. It stinks. They're going to hope to God that Shane Bieber steps out onto the mound tonight and he can go out there and throw a gem. The Dodgers are going to hope the same from Shohei Ohtani, but how long are you going to let that guy go? Like, it's amazing. They don't want to pitch to Shohei Ohtani. They don't want him on the mound. Like, if you can lock him off or block him off one way, sure, you don't throw him a pitch. How do you stop him on a mound? I don't know. This is going to be an interesting game tonight. And I know we saw the legend of Shohei Ohtani, what, a little more than a week and a, about a week and a half ago that Friday night. The guy throws six innings, strikes out 10, hits three home runs. And I have to say to myself, is there any way that he can go out there and not replicate that, but have another freakish day, a freakish night? I guess if there's one dude who can kind of go out there and one-up himself, it would be Shohei Ohtani. I have no idea what to expect. He can go out there and be tired as hell. He can go out there and strike out 10 in another six innings. I don't know. The guy is a freak of nature. But last night, what a wild game. Kudos to you if you were able to stay up and watch the whole game. I'm going to assume that maybe you happen to live on the West Coast. But for the rest of the country in North America, yeah, a little tough sitting around watching a 6 hour and 40 minute baseball game. That was nuts. The Dodgers and the Blue Jays will be right back at it in about an hour and 45 minutes. We'll keep you up to date on that game when it gets underway. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'll give you a little bit more of a preview. I told you the Blue Jays already quit. They're like, look, we are not throwing a Shohei Ohtani. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. We're going to get into some of the other amazing things that are taking place. We got some young NBA players that are making splashes, Vijay Edgecombe, and now you got Victor Wembanyama taking his game to another level. We'll have a chat, as I said, later on in the show to talk all things San Antonio Spurs with Nate Ryan, Ken's Five anchor down in San Antonio. We're going to talk some college football next hour with Brian Fisher. We got Tyler Shuck coming over from college. It looks like he's going to get his chance now with the New Orleans Saints. Lane Kiffin being petty. What else is new when it comes to that guy? And then, you know, that there was another game that took place last night. You might have missed it. Maybe you didn't. It was much, much shorter. The Kansas City Chiefs, they won over the Washington Commanders, and they look like they are rolling. Lamar Jackson is on his way back. Yeah, so there's a lot of things rolling. The NBA is going. The NFL is going. We got Major League Baseball World Series rolling. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about the Chiefs. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We'll take a look at the phone lines and then also talk about these Chiefs. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We know the Dodgers, they played forever, beating the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 3 of the World Series, 6-5. The game took 6 hours and 49 minutes. It didn't take that damn long for the Kansas City Chiefs to also pick up a victory last night. Monday Night Football, the Chiefs went over the Commanders 28-7. Had both of these games on simultaneously. I mean, I can't imagine a football game going almost 7 damn hours, almost impossible. But the Chiefs handled business. I think they were done I don't know, East Coast time, 11-ish, 11:30-ish, they were done. And the Chiefs now have a record of 5-3. Patrick Mahomes, it was a slow start for the Chiefs in general, but you knew at any point in time they were likely to just kind of run away with things. Three touchdowns in the second half for Patrick Mahomes after throwing those two interceptions early. One of his interceptions bounced off the hands of Kelce. Kelce still had a big game, best game of the season for him, 99 yards, one touchdown. Kareem Hunt had two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving. We had Rashee Rice, a speed racer. He was back again. He had nine catches for 93 yards. The Chiefs are hitting on all cylinders. I mean, they're rolling right now. It's kind of nuts. And then you got the Chiefs and Kelce getting that touchdown early. He has now passed Priest Holmes for the most touchdowns that we have ever seen here in Chiefs franchise history. Travis Kelce has 84 of them. Priest Holmes, he had 83. Patrick Mahomes was happy that the record went to his buddy Kelce.
He is the guy that's been here through the whole thing, been here with Coach Reed the entire time, and he helped set the culture. You know, he helped set the culture of what it means and to play for Coach Reed and to play in Kansas City, and I was able to come in and have that guy to rely on. And so he's breaking all the records now, and he's all about the team, so I want to make sure he gets that, and hopefully we can get another football for him later in the season when he actually breaks the record.
Oh, Andy Reid, he talked about Travis Kelce as well. He's like, that's my guy, even when we're yelling at each other on the sidelines.
There have been some great tight ends here over the years. So for him to be able to do what he's done over this amount of time is great. And still, as you guys know, you come out to practice, you see that energy. He's got energy every day, and he's not the youngest guy. So he just goes and goes.
Yeah, shout outs to some other great tight ends, some guy named Tony Gonzalez. Maybe you heard of him. But Travis Kelce, he was asked about this record, and he's talking to Scott Van Pelt. He's like, whatever, I don't care.
In terms of, you know, like the historical stuff, man, I'm still looking at the next game and looking at the next catch and trying to get better every single day. So I think I'll look back at it and appreciate it, but you never know.
I mean, you hear the fans in the background. They weren't too tired after the game. They were pretty hyped. I haven't heard, well, I guess if you're in Kansas City, you hear that a lot. I used to hear that at all the former Cleveland Indians games. You don't hear that no more. Well, even here in the Braves, you'll hear that. So who am I fooling? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. How about this? Kansas City Chiefs got a record of 5-3. They're still kind of hanging out in the danger zone with the Denver Broncos. Also, you got the Chargers there. But the fact is, Kansas City Chiefs have not taken on the Broncos yet. And then we also learned yesterday that Pat Surtain, the reigning defensive player of the year, I mean, he may be out a couple of weeks due to a pectoral issue. So things are rolling right now for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, even yesterday, the defense really picked things up at the second half of the game. I think they held them, Washington, to 66 yards. Now, I know it's Marcus Mariota out there. There's no Jaden Daniels. I know Washington, they are waiting for him to come back. The Commanders' next game is against the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. And Jaden Daniels still dealing with that hamstring issue. They could certainly use him. And then, how about this? The Chiefs, all the rolling that they've been doing, they have a chance to go 6-3. Next up for the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the Buffalo Bills. This is going to be a fun one. The Kansas City Chiefs are like Voltron right now. They're getting all the pieces back. You got Rashee Rice, who adds another element to the team. I mean, even Andy Reid talked about him coming through, and he's like, yeah, having him out on the field is just opens things up.
Loves to play, and he's so competitive. But I love the way he goes about it. He works his tail off, and then he's so physical out there. He's like having another running back as a wide receiver.
And even Patrick Mahomes, he's like, yeah, everything is coming together. We're getting better. This is amazing for us.
We have guys that have been here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is now. And so they have a good feel of kind of finding those open places. I think early in the game, there was a couple opportunities I didn't hit. And so the guys that continue to work with me in that second half, I mean, we had a lot of big plays happen on the kind of secondary type plays.
man, did anybody think that this team was really going to fall off? Like, they're going to fall off the face of the earth? I mean, things are still competitive. Denver has a record of 6-2. The Chargers are 5-3. So are the Kansas City Chiefs. We can just take the Las Vegas Raiders and just completely throw them out the damn window right now. I mean, they're over here bringing in Tyler Lockett just because he's good buddies, you know, with Pete Carroll. That's not doing anything. Kansas City is going to go to the playoffs, and nobody's going to want to see him. That it's really that simple. Kansas City doesn't even necessarily have to even win the division. And that's still a very real possibility. You go down to a game. It's very simple. Who you trusting? You got Justin Herbert on one side, and then you got Patrick Mahomes on the other. Who you trusting more? All right? And then I know it's a team concept, but if I got to think about a two-minute drill and who I want delivering the ball down the field to keep us alive, I'm going with Mahomes over everybody. Do I even need to say Mahomes or Knicks? Like, come on now. In Denver, their days, I'm not going to say they might be numbered. Not having Sertan will certainly have an effect on their defense. But Kansas City, they're pulling things together at the right time. They look like they were DOA to start the season with all the injuries and guys suspended and out. And Travis Kelce says, you know what? You know, sometimes you got to learn how to lose and bounce back. We know how to do that. We've been champs.
Every single game has its different challenges. You know, you got to kind of figure that out on the run with the guys that are in the building and the guys that are stepping up in positions, knowing we were a little banged up today. So it's just it's always moving forward. But we got leadership and we got the head coach to be able to get it done versus anybody.
More importantly, they have the talent. More importantly, they also have their starting quarterback, something that Washington did not have. I know it would have been ideal Monday Night Football to see Patrick Mahomes take on Jaden Daniels. He's dealing with that hammy. And we got Marcus Mariota, okay? He threw one touchdown to Terry McLaurin, looked nice. At least Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel were back out there for Washington. Marcus Mariota also threw two interceptions. There's nothing enticing about Washington, okay? They got a record of 3-5 right now. I told you they got the Seahawks up next. And Marcus Mariota says, yeah, the defense did their job. It's 7-7 at halftime. But our offense sucked. No thanks to you, Marcus. Sorry.
At the end of the day, like, when you're not converting our drives against this type of team, it's tough because they'll get going. And I thought our defense did a great job of holding it off and making plays, creating turnovers. We just didn't do our part on offense.
Yeah, the story of his life, right? I mean, when's the last time Marcus Mariota looked good in a stretch? We got to go back to Oregon. We got to go back to Eugene. We got to talk about the Ducks. Was that the last time that Marcus Mariota had like a legitimate stretch? Possibly. I mean, there's a reason that he's a backup in the NFL. He's had his time. I mean, I remember watching him here in Atlanta. Let's just say it did not go well. So I see Washington obviously taking a major step back from last year, knowing that Jaden Daniels is dealing with all these damn leg injuries. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they're all the way up. Like, they're on their way up. In an AFC right now where the Ravens are trying to fight back in it, God bless them, their division stinks. Maybe they could stay alive. Like, who's the Chiefs' biggest competition? The Buffalo Bills again? I know the Buffalo Bills don't want to see the Chiefs under any circumstance. I mean, eventually they got to beat them one day, right? You know, they beat them in a regular season. Can they beat them in a postseason? And we'll see the Bills and the Chiefs this upcoming Sunday. Now, that'll be a fun one. Let's see who comes out on top. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Kansas City Chiefs, we know they're going to be out here competing for a Super Bowl. They may not win it, but they'll compete for it. We come back on the other side of the break. I'm going to tell you about a guy, a team. They're not competing for nothing, all right? They're just putting butts in the seats. People are coming to party and drink. I'm going to tell you about the New Orleans Saints. Something happened with them today. We'll get into that on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network, and right now it's time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. And we talked about the Dodgers. They played forever last night, forever, against the Blue Jays. We talked about the Kansas City Chiefs. It didn't take them long to dispatch of the Washington Commanders with no Jaden Daniels. They ultimately win 28-7. The Chiefs are rolling. The Commanders are waiting for Jaden Daniels. And we all know how important it is when you have a young quarterback to develop them. Jaden Daniels arguably had the best rookie season of a quarterback ever in the NFL. It was going to be hard for a guy who helped take his team to an NFC championship game last year. It's going to be difficult to top that. I mean, to think that in your second year, you're just automatically going to ascend to a Super Bowl. Yeah. The reality was they were probably going to take a step back. It just really sucks that he's been dealing with injuries to his legs. And so the Commanders are waiting for him to make his return. Because if you don't got a quarterback, you have nothing. And there's a team, well, plenty of teams that have recognized that, know that, and understand it. And shout outs to all my folks in Louisiana right now, listening on the Odyssey app, people down on WWL, all my people not too far away from me. I feel bad for y'all, all y'all Saints fans, okay? Y'all have had to endure Spencer Rattler. You've had to endure the Saints having a record of 1-7. They just lost to Tampa Bay 23-3. Spencer Rattler's been turning the ball over every chance that he could get over the past couple of games. It was all good early in the season. He'd move the chains and they'd get no score. He'd move the chains. He really didn't turn the ball over. But over his past couple of games, the man has 6 turnovers. He had 3 interceptions and a fumble against the Bears. Ouch. Against Tampa Bay, he threw a pick 6 and he fumbled. Ouch. And it was just enough. Kellen Moore said, all right, bro, it's time to sit down. And so at that point, they put Tyler Shuck in the game. Now, if you ain't seen Tyler Shuck back at Louisville, I don't blame you. I don't fault you. Okay, he played 1 season with the Cardinals last year, had a solid season. The dude is 6'5". And so the Saints have some, they got some high hopes for the guy. Okay, I don't know how much better he's going to be. They got the Rams up next. He might get beaten to a pulp. He completed 17 of 30 passes in relief of Spencer Rattler for 128 yards. And then he also had 1 interception. And so I guess that part he learned from Spencer Rattler. But he's getting a start. The Saints got to figure out who their future quarterback is going to be. It ain't Spencer Rattler. And they've been looking for a QB since that guy Drew Brees said, I'm done. I am out. Kellen Moore. He talked about just hoping that Shuck can come through and maybe provide a spark to the offense.
Yeah, going into the game, like in those circumstances, I thought he operated well. You know, we just got to keep, trying to find ways to execute at a higher level from an offense perspective. And so I thought his personal operation, I thought was pretty clean.
Okay, well, all right. He didn't turn the ball over 4 times, so I guess that's an improvement. He only turned the ball over once. Tyler Shuck, this man was drafted 40th overall in the draft. I recall this because he was one guy who was drafted ahead of Shador. I had to go, him? Like, somebody is taking him and not Shador? Well, Tyler Shuck says, I'm ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, I felt prepared. I think, you know, the whole quarterback room, the offense, I think we're preparing well. I got to continue to increase that. But for me, I was just going out there and doing everything I can and just having fun with it. But, going to continue to look at what we did wrong, what we did well, try and improve on those, and and go from there.
Man, Saints are just, I don't want to say they're a waste of time. I mean, if Shuck is not the guy, then they just got to go for it again. It's like picking straws. You just got to restart until you end up with a decent one. It's just, nope, too short, doesn't work. Nope. I feel bad for the Saints fans. They've been spoiled all those years with Drew Brees. And now everybody in that remodeled Superdome, they out there suffering watching this crap, man. Come on. Bacha, you still got to make it down there to watch a game.
Do they need to be good is the question?
No. The atmosphere, Bourbon Street down the block, and the atmosphere inside and the horns and the sounds, and it's like a party at the game, man.
Okay, so I need to focus on the party more than the football, and I'll enjoy myself.
Nah, I don't know, root for somebody else. Maybe you root for the Saints. You go down there and root for them.
Yeah, I don't hate the Saints. The Saints are there. You know, they're there now.
Yeah, well, we certainly know that they're there. They ain't doing much or nothing. They got the same record as the New York Jets, two miserable-ass teams. The Saints are 1-7. The Jets are 1-7. And so their first-year head coach, Kellen Moore, was asked, so, you're the head coach of the Saints. What's the goal? Like, are you trying to just throw this guy out there and see what he can do? Or are you trying to realistically win games? I don't know if you can do both with this roster, but listen to what he said.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I think, we're trying to win. We're trying to win. We're trying to put ourselves in really good situations to be successful. We can develop along the same exact path as well. And plenty of guys around on our team have gotten better each week and put themselves in really successful situations. And, you know, we have a couple of really young quarterbacks. They're both young, I don't even know if Spence has really played a full NFL season technically. So they're both young guys. I think the world of both of them. I think the world of these guys, the rest of our quarterback room, these guys are going to keep developing and doing it the right way. And we just got to find a way to play a little bit better. I got to call a little bit better, put these guys in the best situation so that we can have an environment that allows that position specifically, irrelevant to who the QB is. We got to create an environment that allows those guys to thrive.
I don't think I have ever heard a head coach say, nah, we're not trying to win. We're trying to develop a guy. And these are the funny things, because we all know these conversations take place in the back rooms. We all know these conversations take place amongst the general managers and the ownership. And of course, the coaches don't want to lose. But no one can ever say this. The goal for every single team isn't always to go out there and win a championship, okay? Like, the goal for every single team is not to compete for a Super Bowl. Yeah, we want to win games. Of course, everybody wants to win games. But when you look at the entirety of the season, some teams are just going to suck. Go to New York. Ask Aaron Glenn if he wants to win games for the New York Jets. The answer is yes. Is he trying to win? Yes. But you also want to try and develop. I mean, the New York Jets were beaten to shreds before the season started, because you had Justin Fields and the head coach Aaron Glenn both saying that, yeah, don't be all that excited by the offense. And then, well, the offense is so damn bad they benched Justin Fields. Keep in mind, Garrett Wilson's been out with an injury. I digress. I've never heard a team say we're going to develop. Bacha, is any team, I mean, outside of Sam Hinkie with the 76ers in that process, have you ever heard of a team saying that they just want to develop young players and not win?
No. Because if you say you're just going to develop young players, you're basically admitting to tanking or admitting to a bad season in general. So that'll drive the fans away. Nobody will be interested. So it would be not even just by a coaching standpoint, a dumb idea, but also in a business standpoint, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah, you got to sell tickets. I mean, look, sports teams do a good job at selling hope. That's it. Like, how many bum-ass teams do we have out here? The fans still show up and root and hope for them. Well, here's an example. I don't know. You're a Nets fan, right? What are they selling you?
Yegor Doman the Demon. That's what they're selling us. They're selling us on the 5 first-round picks.
Hope.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hope. Yeah, I mean, let's think about this. There's a random team. They just picked up Russell Westbrook. If you're the Sacramento Kings, what are you selling?
The beam. Besides the beam and the gimmick itself, I guess you could put across the fact that you have four former All-Stars and maybe you can make a run.
A run to what? The bathroom?
Yeah, but on top of that, they could get into the play-in or playoffs.
And do what? What's the point? You know, I don't get the point. And this is, I don't know. If you're a sports fan, you can root for a team. You can root for whoever the hell you want to. I don't give a damn about a team that's just good. Like, I'm not going to get excited about being mediocre or average unless you're making progress, unless there's some type of light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like, there's certain teams that are just like, okay, if you're a Saints fan, you can love the Saints, you can love them. But what are you going to be optimistic about? There's nothing to be optimistic about until you can identify a quarterback. And who knows, maybe that is Tyler Shuck. Or maybe they look at this guy over the next several weeks and go, oh, hell no, we got to go for another quarterback in this year's draft. Like, there's nothing. Like, I look at the New York Knicks and I go, hey, the Knicks are good if their fans are so excited, but are they going to win a championship? A couple things have to break their way. I can't get with blind optimism. Like, you got to be realistic about where your team stands right now and what you're trying to do. Are you trying to win? Are you trying to develop? Are you resetting? Like, there's something for everybody. But for the Saints, there's a reason why Sean Payton, after 1 year of Drew Brees being gone and then having to look at Jameis Winston, and then Jameis Winston gets hurt, Sean Payton said, screw this, I'm going to TV. And then he became a world-class jerk, at least to the public. And now he's a world-class jerk out here coaching the Denver Broncos. It's working out for them so far. And we'll see how it continues to go. Good luck to Tyler Shuck. I remember him as the guy who got drafted before Shador. And we still don't see Shador. At Bacha, I've seen more social media videos of Shador talking about his dad's shoes and this and that than anything related to football.
That's, for him now, that's probably a good thing. Just try to build your brand off the field.
Oh, boy. You trying to put Shador into retirement already?
No, I'm just saying you could do both. But I would suggest, if he's still building his reputation and brand outside of playing games, that's fine with me. So get your name out there, build up your brand, just in case
it doesn't work. Is there any brand for him worth a damn if he doesn't have any type of football success?
I feel like he'd be a good Oakley sponsor, something like that.
He could, Shades?
Yeah. Shades would be there. I feel like he could definitely sell something on TikTok or something.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, he could be a social media influencer. Nobody wants to hang out and pay a loser. I'm just saying, I'm not calling him a loser yet, but all those brand deals and this and that, does he want to just be Deion's son if he doesn't get a chance in the league? Come on now. Doesn't want to do that. I wish him nothing but the best, but the best thing for his brand is if he can ever get out there on the football field and throw the rock around. That would help him. If not, people are going to look at him like Bronny James. But has he played a minute this year or has he been on the bench?
I don't even know. That's how irrelevant he is.
Yeah, Bronny's probably played the same amount of minutes as LeBron this year. None. Okay? Sorry about that. Possibly. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back. Speaking of young players, let's talk about some that actually play in the NBA. There's a lot of them lighting it up. Wembanyama, Edgecombe, we got you covered. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.